Hello everyone and welcome to another race recap analysis here on the Cycling Dane Extra channel. As always, I'm joined by Mr. Gregor himself, Ewan Wilson. And Ewan, that was quite a spectacular race we had today. What exactly happened on the stage?
Well, this stage was the shortest road stage of this year's Tour de France, heading up from Saint-Gaudens up the Périgueux. There wasn't really a breakaway that formed strongly in the first hour of racing. Instead, it was a complicated affair over the first part of the stage. We saw Lutsenko and Thibaut Pinot go up the road. We saw Romain Bardet try to launch a move with his DSM teammates. But really, the main attraction was the GC battle, which we'll be focusing on here. In terms of the GC battle, well, Jumbo-Visma looked to be in control of affairs. They had Christophe Laporte, Thijs Benoot, Wout van Aert and so forth all doing the work. Eventually, however, it was Miguel Biel of UAE who really put up the pace over the Encaisson climb. That ended up dropping Wout van Aert, who surprisingly didn't have the legs to follow on. Thijs Benoot was also soon dropped, but he made it back on to take us on to the penultimate climb of the day. On that penultimate climb of the day, well, we did see big movements being made by Brandon McNulty, who wore down the group to a very, very small selection, which included Geraint Thomas, Jonas Vingegaard, Sepp Kuss, and Tadej Pogacar. Eventually, Thomas and Kuss dropped, just leaving the yellow-white jersey and McNulty over the top of the penultimate climb of the day, the Val de Loire-Azay. They came over the top of the climb, swept up the remnants of the breakaway, but they weren't hanging onto the group. They got dropped by McNulty, Pogacar, and Vingegaard. Pogacar tried something over the top of the climb, but he realized it might have been a little bit too far out to do so, with Kuss still only 1 minute down the road. If they started looking at each other, Kuss could come back and change the game. So they waited for McNulty to come back. McNulty paced all the way up the Périgueux, the final climb, until the final kilometer on the airport runway, where we saw Pogacar. It looked like we're going to see a tete-a-tete between Pogacar and Vingegaard. Vingegaard launched the sprint. Pogacar came round. He's the strongest sprinter of the two. Proved that once again. And he took 4 seconds on the line in time bonifications to take the win and make a tiny, tiny nibble in terms of his GC deficit to Jonas Vingegaard. So he now sits 2 minutes and 18 back. Geraint Thomas came home best of the rest in terms of the GC contenders, whilst Bardet wasn't over the lines too soon after him. And there was a big group with David Godu, Nairo Quintana, Louis Meintjes, and Enric Mas, who soon came over the line. But in terms of top 10, it makes a couple of big changes. The top five remains the same, with Vingegaard still in the lead, 218 ahead of Pogacar, Geraint Thomas at 456. So that's quite a big gap now. With Quintana in fourth at 753. David Godu sits in fifth at 757. Whilst Romain Bardet moves up into sixth place at 921, but breathing down his neck are both Louis Meintjes and Sascha Vlasov. Adam Yates moves down into ninth place, whilst Enric Mas now sits in 10th. Lutsenko is not too far away from Mas, that must be pointed out as well, after a strong day for the Kazakh rider. So a couple of big changes. Tom Pidcock plummeting out of the GC picture, we believe, after dropping off very early on this stage in what was really a good performance from UAE, despite losing both Mika and Soler in the past 24 hours. But they didn't crack Vingegaard. He only loses 4 seconds.
The first stage since they lost Rafa Mika. I think it's, well, a welcome news that Tadej Pogacar did actually win the stage. But yeah, Jonas Vingegaard standing up to the challenge here. But Ewan, I think the first person we should talk about is Brandon McNulty. Absolutely incredible, monstrous ride here from the American rider, having, well, the two top riders on his wheel, but absolutely destroying everyone else. Rafa Mika doesn't really need to be needed in this team anymore, it seems.
But imagine if Mika was here. Imagine if we had Soler. Imagine if we had all these other guys. Then again, you could say the same for the other squads in terms of what if Kreswijk and Roglic were here. But UAE really, really played this well in terms of Miguel Biel, who rode out of his skin as well. Let's not forget, the young Dane, very close friend of Tadej Pogacar, rode exceptionally to sort of grind down a lot of these Jumbo-Visma teammates, including Wout van Aert, who we assume would move up in along the hierarchy, but he was dropped awfully early, didn't even invest anything really into Jumbo-Visma's GC effort for today. But Brandon was fantastic, played a really important role. He sometimes blows hot and cold, but today he was certainly smoking hot. The guy from Arizona really proving that he is a really, really solid rider, a valiant teammate of Pogacar's, and I'm hoping he's going to become a fixture in Tadej's team in the years to come. But you also have to sort of address the fact that UAE played this very, very well. This is the sort of dream scenario for UAE in terms of the team being involved, where they isolate Vingegaard completely. There's no Sepp Kuss. It's just Pogacar with McNulty and with Vingegaard. On paper, that's a brilliant situation for Pogacar. They just try to grind down Vingegaard, or they try to play around with him. They waited. Pogacar didn't attack on that final climb until he got to the airport runway in the final couple hundred meters. So I'm worried. I feel like UAE are running out of time. We're running out of opportunities for Pogacar to gain back these big time gaps. Today was a great chance to do it, but I just think Jonas is too strong. And every move Tadej makes, Jonas is there. He's not shaking him off like he has been doing over the past year.
Yeah, I mean, that is the question that I almost don't dare to say, but Jonas Vingegaard is looking more like the yellow jersey in waiting, but there's still a lot of stages to come. That time trial, anything could happen. A drop chain and suddenly you've lost 30 seconds. So I think both of them have to be on absolutely top form. But I just... Yeah, it was so weird not to see Tadej Pogacar attack a kilometer before, 2 kilometers before, and waiting until the final moments almost. And yeah, I don't know if that's Tadej Pogacar doesn't really have confidence in himself dropping Jonas Vingegaard. And yeah, there's not going to be enough stages just to chip away and get the bonus seconds here for him.
It was interesting for UAE how they didn't attack earlier. They didn't really roll the dice earlier on Perigoud, but I think the problem as well is that Jonas was equal to all the attacks. If Tadej gave it everything at 3k to go and couldn't shake Jonas and then ended up getting dropped, he would have lost time. Even if he brought him all the way to the end, tried to crack him on the airport runway, which we've seen in the past, and Chris Froome back in 2017 lost handfuls of seconds in terms of bonifications and also just cracking in the final kilometer to some of his contenders. I think Tadej was hoping the same thing would happen here, where he could try to go in the really, really steep ramps and that final dash to the line, get rid of Jonas Vingegaard, and just try to bank on gaining a couple of seconds in terms of both time bonuses and also with Vingegaard cracking in the wake of Tadej Pogacar's better raw acceleration. But it didn't work out in the end. Jonas was there all the way to the line. It's still only 2 minutes 18 back in GC. 2 minutes 18 in 2 decisive stages. It's going to be big time. Tomorrow, I think Jumbo are going to be a lot more alert tomorrow. Tomorrow, there are fewer climbs on the profile. It makes more sense for Jumbo to be more in control. Yes, there are harder climbs on the build-up, but today seemed like a Tadej Pogacar stage on paper, sort of paint-by-numbers Tadej stage. So I'm starting to get skeptical of whether his time is running out.
Anything can happen. We saw that with Simon Yates in the Giro d'Italia. And it's the first time Jonas Vingegaard has ever been in this position, leading a Grand Tour. His second ever Tour de France, third ever Grand Tour. So yeah, a lot can still happen for the young Dane, but I wish him well, of course. But focusing down the road, Ineos Grenadiers seem to somewhat implode other than Geraint Thomas. Adam Yates dropped Tom Pidcock completely out of it. So they're still looking strong for the team classification, but it's definitely a day they want to forget here.
Yeah, for Ineos, it's not great news for them. They lose 2 of their big cards, Pidcock out the back completely. Yates dropped very early on. On a day where I feel like Ineos were poised to play with the other teams, they had the only big GC squad with all of their riders here and who all look like they're on pretty decent form. We haven't seen Pipo Ganner in days. He hasn't been looking quite so fresh, but the squad looked good. They sent riders up in the early breakaway. Daniel Martinez and Castro Viejo were up there as well. It looked like on paper it was going to be really, really great shout for Ineos to do something, but I don't think Thomas has the legs to attack. I don't think it's quite his vibe to attack Pogacar and Vingegaard. He's never been the most offensive rider in GC, but particularly in comparison to them, it's going to be hard. For Adam Yates, it's a bit of a surprise. He was dropped as well yesterday on the run into Foix, so it looks like it's end of the road. It's not going to be a top 5 in the end for Adam Yates. And Ineos will probably get a podium. Geraint Thomas, if he remains on his bike upright, he will. For Geraint Thomas, that's a big question mark. But he will go to Paris and get that bronze medal, which he does deserve. He's been head and shoulder. I mean, he's been out and out the best of the rest behind Jonas Vingegaard and Pogacar, who've just been streets ahead of any other contender. So fair play to Geraint Thomas. He did play it well on what was a very, very difficult profile with the heat, with Brandon McNulty just grinding everybody down. Geraint went on his own. He didn't wait up for the big Quintana Godu group. He just plowed away and it worked for the Brits. And he's going to make it his third podium finish in 5 tours.
Yeah, completing the set for him. But one rider, Romain Bardet, attacked early on, had such a bad day yesterday. We were kind of skeptical thinking that this was going to blow up in his face, but it seemed to work a charm. Okay, he finished behind the podium, but he doesn't really care about that. He's sitting, was sitting in ninth place. So that was a bit of tactical genius here by DSM for once.
Yeah, DSM played this really well. It gave me sort of flashbacks to both Bardet's move at Saint-Gervais-Mont-Blanc with his old team in 2016, where he took out the stage win, moved onto the podium on that day, and also gave me flashback to stage 20 of the Giro last year when he, Michael Storer and Chris Hamilton sort of made this sort of breakaway dash on a downhill with the guys from Bahrain. At this year's Tour de France, they did the same thing with Andreas Leknessund as well. It worked well. Bardet now jumped up a number of places after what was a woeful day. He was very defeated in the interviews, saying that he felt almost embarrassed and ashamed of his performance yesterday on the Nord de Pegel. But today, on the stage up to Périgueux, looked pretty good, moving up, getting closer and closer to David Godu to try to get the bragging rights of the best Frenchman. But I think David's got the best of him and will remain in top five for Groupama Française déjà. But Romain can be very, very proud of his effort today. It still proves that he's got something left in the tank for the years to come.
Anyways, that's it for this race recap analysis here on the Cycling Day in Extra channel. Make sure to check out the main channel where we have the live streams and the features. And of course, the podcast as well, if you'd rather listen to us than watch us. So make sure to like the video. Comment down below what you thought of the stage. As always, thank you for watching and have a nice day.